From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning by Charles Haddon Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Luke chapter 11, verses 27 and 28. A certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. It is fondly imagined by some that it must have involved very special privileges to have been the mother of our Lord, because they supposed that she had the benefit of looking into his very heart in a way which we cannot hope to do. There may be an appearance of plausibility in the supposition, but not much. We do not know that Mary knew more than others. What she did know, she did well to lay up in her heart. But she does not appear, from anything we read in the evangelists, to have been a better instructed believer than any other of Christ's disciples. All that she knew, we also may discover. Do you wonder that we should say so? Here is a text to prove it. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Remember the Master's words, Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. So blessedly does this divine revealer of secrets tell us his heart, that he keepeth back nothing which is profitable to us. His own assurance is, If it were not so, I would have told you. Doth he not this day manifest himself unto us, as he doth not unto the world? It is even so. And therefore we will not ignorantly cry out, Blessed is the womb that bare thee, but we will intelligently bless God that, having heard the word and kept it, we have first of all as true a communion with the Savior as the Virgin had, and in the second place as true an acquaintance with the secrets of his heart as she can be supposed to have obtained. Happy soul to be thus privileged!
Thank you.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. As Pastor Tomassian continues this series in 1 Thessalonians, he brings the next portion of a message called The Day of the Lord. The text is verses 1 through 5 of chapter 5, in which the Apostle Paul addresses the question of how the world will end, especially as it concerns the believer and the unsaved. That time will be a time both of mercy and of judgment, of mercy for those who are trusting in Christ, and of judgment for the lost. It is of the utmost importance that a person be ready for that day, for it will come suddenly. Now to continue this message, The Day of the Lord, here is Pastor Armin Tomassian.
In its introduction to the prophecy of Zephaniah, the Reformation Heritage Study Bible says, The Day of the Lord designates those epochal interventions of God into time to accomplish His purpose of judgment against sinners, or of blessing for His people. The Old Testament shows that there were multiple days of the Lord, all of which pointed to and were typical, that is, picture prophecies, of the final day that marks the consummation of time, the final judgment of sinners, and the complete salvation of saints at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. End quote. So I'm dealing with this, the significance of the day of the Lord, understanding that it is not exclusively judgment. It's not judgment without any sense of mercy. There's no mercy toward those that die in unbelief. But there is the fact that as the Lord comes back, as He returns, it is also to bring a complete and final salvation to those that believe. To those of us then that are children of the day, those of us redeemed by the precious blood, those of us that are called into a relationship with God through Christ, the day of the Lord is a day that we look for, is a day we pray for. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We look for, we cry, we pray that the Lord will return. Now, maybe you feel conflicted when you pray that way. Conflicted because there are some in your family and in your acquaintance that are not saved. And yet we have the example of Scripture. Come, Lord. This is the desire of the church. We want Him to return. We don't want sin to continue. We don't desire the continual blasphemy against the Lord, the rebellion of men. God's people long for a King who will reign in perfect righteousness over all things and will execute His reign in perfect equity. We don't enjoy this world, and so we long for the Lord to return. So that's the significance of the day of the Lord. And I'm just touching on some things and shaping, because when you come to chapter 5 and we look at it, you will see the contrast between believers and unbelievers. Those of the darkness, those of the day. You see that there. And the reason why that contrast exists is because there is this dual sense of purpose in the day of the Lord. It is for judgment against sin, and it is for the complete and full redemption of the people of God who are looking to Christ as their Savior. Secondly, note with me the suddenness of it. And here we come to our text and begin to look at what Paul writes in relation to the suddenness of the day of the Lord. Let's read the opening four verses again. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. So when is it going to happen? One might argue that's the best way to prepare. If you know when something's going to happen, then you can prepare. We live our lives like this all the time. Give me a deadline. I need a deadline. Give me a time. I need to know when that essay is due in. Don't leave it kind of hanging there in the ether. I need the deadline. And we like timelines. We need to know specifically when we need to be ready for something. And we don't appreciate being kind of having our hands laid upon suddenly. Even in relation to some of the ladies have maybe received an email in relation to a hospitality program. And part of that is really to facilitate the great dread that most women have, or most who are hospitable and want to have people in the home. The greatest dread they have is to be found not prepared. To have someone land in and to not have anything for them. They don't mind making meals. They don't mind having people in their home, generally speaking. But their great concern is, well, I'm just not ready. I don't have anything for them. And by having the program, and I trust that many of you will kind of respond to that and get involved, because many hands make light work. But you can prepare ahead of time. You can know that should I be called upon, I'm ready, because this is my day. This is my week, as it were. We don't like to be caught unawares. And so again, the question was arising in the church. When will these things take place? And what Paul does is quote the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 1. You remember back in Acts chapter 1, just before the Lord ascended, that the disciples asked the question in Acts 1 verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. And here Paul quotes the same thing. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Now, why does he say ye have no need that I write unto you in relation to this? Well, he says in verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. That is to say, I've told you already. We've dealt with these things and you know what you need to know. In fact, you know it perfectly. That's the word that's used. Perfectly. In fact, it's the same word that Luke uses at the beginning of his gospel, Luke chapter 1, when he says that it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. So Luke was able to write the gospel because he had a very clear and precise understanding of what took place in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's why he was qualified in part, to write the gospel. Well, Paul says you have received the same instruction in relation to the day of the Lord. Yourselves know perfectly, verse 2, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So what do they know perfectly? Well, they know that the Lord comes as a thief in the night. And again, they had heard this term before. This was not Paul coming up with a new term. I believe he said he used this term when he was there, when he was instructing them in the weeks that he spent time in that city. And he was not inventing it himself. In Matthew chapter 24, where the Lord gives us all of it, discourse. And again, just to lay the context of Matthew 24 and 25, remember, it was in response to what the disciples asked again, verse 3 of Matthew 24, tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Same questions arising from the disciples. And the Lord then proceeds to deal with it in Matthew 24 and 25. And so, in Matthew 24, verse 36, we read, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So there's establishing a fact. No one knows when. And Paul, no doubt, iterated this very clearly. And you go then to verse 42 of Matthew 24. He says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And there you have a parallel again with the arrival of the Son of God with a thief that is not expected. Thieves don't tend to tell you ahead of time that they're going to come and be at your property. That really would defeat the purpose, I would imagine, unless they're unusually skillful. That's not the way it normally goes. And the Lord likens it. He says this is the pattern. This is going to be the experience. That when I arrive, it will be with such suddenness that men will not have been expecting it. And while men may pry into the question when, he makes it clear, that day and hour knoweth no man. And it amazes me. It amazes me to talk even recently with our brother Dr. Allison and ministering in Pennsylvania and those caught under the Harold Camping and he's not new. I mean, that this idea, this ongoing, continual desire to know exactly when the Lord will come. You can go online and you can go to the Rapture Index. And the Rapture Index has a criteria, 45 different criteria. And each of those 45 criteria are numbered or are kind of ranked between 1 and 5. And 5 is the max. And once you get to, when they're all 5, then the Lord is definitely just, like, definitely around. So I think we're at 180 something presently. So I don't do the math. We're not too far away from filling all of the criteria and so on. But this is the minds of people. I mean, what way is this to look? How do you categorize 1 to 5 with wars and rumors of wars? I mean, what are you comparing it against? Well, this is the mind of men. And they go deeper and they go further and they begin to give dates and they begin to argue and people get caught up in this. 2,000 years ago, the question from the disciples, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? He gives the signs. And then you have the question, again, just before he ascends, is it not time, Lord? When are you going to do this? And it is not for you to know the times of the seasons. And then as Paul plants churches, the same question arises. Of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And again, he's drawing from the language of the Lord. Paul, therefore, in his teaching and establishing of Christian churches, he went through the Olivet Discourse. He taught them the basic instruction that was taught by the Lord Jesus in relation to his second advent. And so these terms were familiar to them. They knew these things, were well aware of them. And the Lord had warned that it would be sudden, that it will catch people unawares, And Paul taught the same. And you come to verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety. And of course, this is the ungodly, those that are not looking for the Lord's return. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And the suddenness is impressed even more here in this passage. Again, peace and safety. Where's Paul getting that? Why is he saying, when they shall say peace and safety? This is Paul basically drawing again, because the verses that we read in Matthew 24, in the middle of when he says that the Lord will come in an hour, you know not, in the middle of all that, we have this, the Lord driving home the point that as in the days of Noah were, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They're eating and drinking and giving in marriage. In other words, the peace and safety is the eating and drinking and giving in marriage. It's a sense of security. There's peace and safety and tranquility. And so let's eat and drink and marry and give them. Let's go through life and enjoy all the privileges of life and not think about the Lord's return. And this is the mentality of men. This is how they are living. This is why people, perhaps even in this church building, are living right now. With the thought that they continue on in their daily activities, doing what they do, unregenerate, with no thought of the suddenness of Christ's certain return. Peace and safety. Peace and safety. Just live life. That's what they're saying. Just live life. Do what is right in your own eyes. Live according to your own desires. Fulfill your dreams. Prioritize your own heart and feelings. This is the mantra of the day. This was the mantra of Noah's day. There's the man, the preacher of righteousness, going around declaring the word 120 years, and no one listens. And some perhaps old enough to recall, I remember when he started this. Noah's been going on about this for over 100 years now. He's crazy. Don't listen to him. And this is the mentality of today. There's the church still declaring the Lord will return. And the Lord's long suffering is being turned into an argument not to believe. But note what Paul writes. Look at it. If you're here this morning and you're not saved. Look at the Bible. Look at the Word of God. I trust you have it in front of you. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Then. When everyone is at a point of thinking that everything is fine, there's no possibility that things will change. A sense of security established by the present circumstances. Life has never been as good as it is presently. And there may be the political aspect that will play into this. A period of tremendous peace and prosperity. And everything seems to be good no matter where you look. No matter what way you turn. No matter what nation you look at. There's just prosperity on every hand, peace and safety everywhere you turn. Right when man is at his most exalted state, when he thinks himself to be more than he truly is, then sudden destruction. Then sudden destruction.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.